Hi, this is Sean Douglas, host of the live online radio show, Life Transformation Radio, and you are listening to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with my good friend, Robert Thibodeau. Be sure to subscribe to the show so you never miss any upcoming episodes. I hope you enjoy.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Robert Thibodeau. Using an interview format, Pastor Bob will introduce you to men and women whose ministries are impacting this world with the gospel, and will also provide commentary and insight on end-time prophetic events we now see happening in the news. Now here is Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. This is Pastor Robert Thibodeau, and I want to welcome you to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast for today. Let me ask you a question as we get started. What is it that you can do that nobody else is doing right now? Or let me put it this way. What is it you can do that you are not doing right now that will minister to someone else in a way that is unique just to you? Well, my guest today fulfills that unique calling that the Lord has given to her. And she does it in a way that others also use, but her method is unique to her, and she's reaching people that otherwise may miss out on heaven because of feelings of inadequacy. Monique Mitchell is an author who writes her books based on reality. Her books are not written for the righteous, those who feel they have their ticket already punched for heaven. Her books reach out to those who feel they may have come up short or may not measure up enough to reach that eternal destination. Her books help people to understand that we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. Her books help us to understand that no matter what, God's grace is still effective. Her goal is to help people come to God with realistic beliefs, knowing that there is nobody in the kingdom of God that got there by being perfect. Well, except for Jesus, of course. Monique Mitchell is from Jamaica. Raised in a single-parent home and used books to help her escape some of the things that she endured while growing up. She's written many short stories, published on Facebook. She's written scripts for plays at church, and has also written a lot of poetry. We'll be discussing her latest book, The Skeletons of Samantha's Closet, today. Help me welcome to the program, Monique Mitchell. Monique, thank you for coming on the show today.
Thank you for having me.
Amen. Now, Monique, the question I always start with my guests is this, other than that short bio that I just read, tell us in your own words, who is Monique Mitchell?
Okay, so Monique Mitchell is a female who has found God for almost 5 years. Mm-hmm. Someone who's seen the need of people understanding or having someone that they can relate to. You know, because we go into church and we get this thing that people have to be perfect to become pastors and ministers and evangelists. And Monique is just a person who laughs a lot, smiles a lot, and is welcoming. Like, she is a high-spirited person.
Amen. Amen. Now, you're writing other books as well, correct?
Yeah.
There's got this something one in the progress, yeah.
Yeah, because this is a continuation book. The book, The Skeletons of Samantha's Closet, has part two. That will be coming out April.
Amen.
But there's also a book, The Call, that will be coming out June.
Wow. Okay, you definitely stay busy. All right.
Now, yeah, I do.
Your book, The Skeletons of Samantha's Closet, has garnered what could be called rave reviews by your followers. Some saying this book is intriguing. Let's talk about your book, okay?
Yeah, sure.
Tell us what prompted you to write this book, The Skeletons in Samantha's Closet.
You know, to be honest, Pastor Bob, I wrote a poem, right?
Uh-huh.
I wrote a poem and I sent it to some of my church sisters and brothers. And someone said, I want more. And I was like, it's a poem, because before I went into novels, I did a lot of short stories and so forth, but I've never really written a novel before.
Okay.
So the person said that they wanted more because it sounded interesting. So I wrote more. And by the time I finished writing more, as they requested, it was like a chapter. So a female said, hey, why not give us this in a book? And I said, okay, let me try. They're like, yes, you're supposed to try. So I wrote it, and it became a book.
That's awesome. It started off as a poem, and then like a little additional to the poem, and that became a chapter, which now has become the book. That's progression. Amen.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Now, this book is the story of a pastor's daughter, correct?
Yeah.
Okay, what is she doing?
So Samantha is a pastor's daughter, but she's very far from practicing any of the Christian belief that she was taught by her dad. She went off to college, you know, to become a lawyer. And after finishing college, going to work as a lawyer, she met this judge, and now she's having an affair with the judge. While having the affair with the judge, the book started where she met the judge's wife at a supermarket. Not knowing if the wife knows her, she was a bit, you know, feeling guilty because she knows the lady. But the lady knows her, and the lady confronted her, you know, so the wife now begins to give her hell, calling her phone and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So she's trying to keep that life away from the public because remember, she's a pastor's daughter. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So it all has to do with the skeletons, the stuff that she's going through. And while she tried to keep her life a secret, she's battling with her dad because, you know, a lot of pastors, we preach and we say stuff like, you know, God has forgiven your sins. You are saved by grace. But then at the end of the day, we don't practice it in our own life.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So he thinks that his daughter is karma for what he did before becoming a pastor. There are a lot of things that he has never said to his daughter, which the mother will, somewhere down in the book, talk about. Yeah, because he tried to stay away from his past life, but at the same time, he thought that his past life is the karma. He gets his daughter as the karma for that.
Okay, let's back up just a little bit, because I want to try and clarify something now. She has drifted away from the faith that she was raised in. And this, when you drift away from God, there's a void there. Mm-hmm. And that void is not just from physical love, but her spiritual relationship with God, correct?
Yeah.
Okay. And how did she meet the judge or become involved with the judge?
Okay, so they work the same place. They work for the same law firm. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So they work the same place, and she met him.
Okay. And then she became infatuated with him, basically, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Now, do you see that happening in churches today?
Yes, a lot of this. And not only to say that we go for love when we backslide, but if you look, there's a lot of pastors, or let not say pastors, but officers of the churches that you realize after a while their kids stop coming to church, and you'll wonder. Yep. How will they keep us here if the people in their old soul is not coming? Yeah. And you wonder what's happening. And then you realize that there's a thin line right there in their home. And the thing is, we see them when they're out there in church, but their kids see them 24/7.
Yeah.
And a lot of time, these people see you for who you really are. And if we're not living what we're preaching, it simply means that they're going to say, oh, this is a joke, I can go. It doesn't matter.
Yep. Amen. Amen. Now, in your book, Samantha is actually praying for this judge to get a divorce. I mean, that doesn't sound very Christian-like, does it?
And can you imagine? And there are sometimes, you know, I try my best to bring out every single thing that I think as Christians out there going through, because a lot of things we won't say to people, but you know, there'll be days I'll say, God, I know that you're not feeling okay about this, but God, you know, I'll change my life as long as you do this for me.
Right.
And, And when you look back at it, you would never ever say to your church brother or sister, say, help me pray to get somebody else's husband.
Right. Amen. I mean, that concept, you know, praying for another man to get a divorce so she could be with him instead of his wife. I mean, that concept shows she understands the power of prayer, even if used in a wrong way. How does that relate to Christians today?
Because, all right, so, you know, at times as Christians, we do want something, right? And we'll justify it like, God, I understand that it's wrong, you know, but just in case you can move away my supervisor from her position, then I'll get hers.
Yeah.
You know, it's like God, you know, I am more deserving than that person. Or what we do, because what Samantha is doing is, oh God, you know that he loves me more than he loves her, so why don't you just give him over to me? You understand?
Yeah. Amen. I mean, that's, you know, that's just one example. I mean, there's, you know,
so many.
Yeah, and that's jobs because, and whatever. You know, Lord, make him fire her so I can get hired. Well, you don't know what that other person's going through. I mean, it's, you know, that job may be keeping them alive right now, you know.
Amen.
So, yeah. What are your thoughts on those who are teaching grace, but as you put in your book, are like the pastor father, kind of stuck in karma? You know, what are your thoughts on that? How does Samantha's father react to that?
Mine is a very powerful thing. And that's why I said, no matter who you are, this book is a good read, because it touches points where, as Christians, we're afraid to talk about. You know, Sundays upon Sundays, we go to church and we get messages about people doing this to us or people holding us back, and we get stuff like, oh, we want to go to heaven. But listen, before you tell me about heaven, teach me how to get there. Tell me what's really happening. How do I deal with these things? And one of the things that we fail to really touch is the mind. The mind is a very powerful thing. And we will say the right words. We will read the Bible 24/7, but we're still stuck.
Yeah.
We had before. Because the Bible says, you know, remember, the Spirit of God does not dwell with man always. Yeah. But at the same time, we'll need to know what to do when we're feeling down, when we're low in spirit. You understand? Yeah. And the mind, I tell people that, listen, what you're going through is not how you handle it during the day, but it's how you handle it when you lay in your bed at night, when there's no one around you, and every single thing comes back. Oh, remember, you were a prostitute.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Or can you say that you're serving God? You think that God is just going to take a prostitute and give a prostitute a lovely life? Oh, your kid's going to do this. You know, your mind play these games on you.
Yep.
Oh, you used to be a thief. Do you think that God is going to trust you in his church with his money? You know, your mind is a very powerful thing. And unless we know how to deal with it, we'll end up in the position that this pastor is. This pastor is very bitter. I remember there's a part in it when Samantha is in the hospital and she said, if you continue with this pride, Dad, you'll be seeing me in hell.
Yeah. Now, when, you know, you talk about the mind and how that can lead you, it's because, you know, the devil can't condemn God, but he can condemn you, you know, us.
Yes.
And, like, you know, I remember when I was called into the ministry, I fought it for almost 3 months. Like, Lord, you know, you obviously don't know what I've done in the past. I mean, things like that, you know. I mean, here I am, someone who knows absolutely nothing, trying to tell someone who knows everything something I think he doesn't know.
Actually, something that he knew even before you went through it. Because I tell a lot of people that we all can't be the same, and we all can't start off as being saved individual. Not all of us was meant to be raised in the church from a younger age, right?
That's right.
Because there's going to be a place in life where there we have to have a birth of a new ministry where you can touch people, where you can be down to earth, where you can go out in the street and listen, this is me. And I've been through that. Yeah. And if I could get over that, you can get over it too. Because why we have a lot of people backsliding out of church is, okay, they expect to get something from God and they come to God. But when they come to God, we who are already there look down on them. So we're like, just wait a little because you still have stuff. But the thing is, we still have stuff that we need to change. And if we perfect what we're doing, then people will come in and say, I cannot reach where Sister Monique is. I can't reach where Pastor Bob is. So this is not for me. Right. Not knowing that that is an unrealistic hope. Because to be honest, we have been through it so many times. There are days when we felt like just leaving God. But it's all because of His grace and His mercy, and we held on.
And you said it very well, you know, that we've been through it so many times. I'll liken it to, let's say working out. You know, the first time you go and lift weights, you know, you may say, well, I want to be able to lift, you know, my own body weight.
Yeah.
The first time you do it, you can't even lift half your body weight. You say, oh, well, I guess I'm not supposed to lift weights, you know.
No, yeah.
You start where you're at, and you keep pushing that resistance, pushing it back, pushing it back, pretty soon, well, over the course of time, I can't say pretty soon, but over the course of time, it gets to the point where you are strong enough to lift your body weight. And, you know, when I was in the military, you know, obstacle course, things like that, I mean, utter failure, right? But through that 8 weeks of basic training, by the time you finished, not only could you go over it, you were doing, you know, what the first time you took it, you know, it took you like 3 hours to even, you know, fail. I mean, every obstacle. At the end, after 8 weeks of training like that, you not only can complete every obstacle, you do it in under like 15 minutes. I mean, it's just boom, 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 because you've hit that over and over, and you learn how to overcome. And then you go on to the next obstacle, and you learn to overcome. You go on to the next obstacle. And then you just put it all together. So when someone new, as you related, when someone new comes into the church, and says, "Oh, this place isn't for me. I mean, look at them. They, you know, it's so easy for them. You know, this must not be for me." Well, you didn't see them 20 years ago. You didn't see me 25 years ago, 27 years ago. You didn't see me, you know, when I was struggling with the same things that you're doing today. Yes. But if you come to me and say, "You know, I'm struggling with this," I say, "Well, you know," and this is where a lot of pastors miss it. It's like, "Well, brother, you know, it's going to take a lot of prayer and a lot of study, you know." No, you say, "I can relate. I understand. You know, this is what I try. Try that. Oh, that didn't work for you. Okay, let's try something else." But you keep encouraging them, you know, "Don't worry about it." I mean, when I, oh, Lord, I used to drink so much, you know, that basically I was a functioning alcoholic. But when I quit drinking, it wasn't because I said, "Well, you know, I'm going to quit drinking now." The Lord just took it away from me. I mean, it took me 6 months before I realized I hadn't had a drink, you know. Yeah. And wow, cool, you know. And then I found a little half full bottle of liquor, and I was like, "You know what, I haven't had this in 6 months. I don't need this." I just dumped it out, and that was it. Never went back. But I can relate to someone who has an alcohol problem, you know. Mm-hmm. "Well, you don't drink, so you know." "Oh, I completely understand, you know." And it's things like that that, as a church, we need to stop lifting the standard of, you know, to be a member of this church, you can't drink, can't smoke, can't chew, you know, can't run with those that do. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus went down to those who were hurting and said, "Let me tell you some good news." You know, and then when the Pharisees and all them were condemning these people, he said, "You know, sick people don't go see a doctor. I mean, I'm sorry, healed people don't go see a doctor, the sick do. I'm here to minister to the sick, You know, those that are hurting. But let's jump back on the book, because we could talk about this all day. How does Samantha's father react to the situation with his daughter?
Well, she has been good hiding everything until later down in the book. She went in a mishap with a friend, and the father came to the hospital, and he was saying to someone who attends his church, who was consoling her, and he was like, "Move from beside her. Don't you see that everything she touches, she destroy?"
Wow.
He was like, "I have nothing to do with her. Nothing whatsoever." So he took it real hard.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't say it was denial, but as I said, he just thought it was his karma. Like, he didn't see how God would allow his child to be living the life that she's living.
So what was in his background that would make him think that?
Okay. So throughout all the book, when you're reading, you won't know that there was anything wrong until when she was in the hospital and her mother. He was married. He was just a regular church brother back before they got her. And they were married and they were living with his parents because, you know, they couldn't afford it as yet, you know. Mm-hmm. And he was cheating on her with her next church sister.
Mm. So he was doing the same thing.
Yeah. And his next church, the next church sister got pregnant.
with Samantha?
No, with a child.
I thought that might have been the twist.
Yeah, because right there in the book, Samantha was like, "Hold up, don't tell me that I'm not yours, mommy." She's like, "No, it's nothing like that."
Okay.
And yeah, so the sister got pregnant, the church sister got pregnant, and the church sister felt so guilty and so full of shame. She ran away. She left the community fully. She went away and stuff. He backslidden. He left church for a while and stuff like that. But throughout everything, the wife was still there for him. He has a lovely wife. When I said that she is a woman of God, she is like, she listens to him, but at the same time, she be there for Samantha.
Amen.
And yeah, so she stuck it out and she stayed with him until he came back and he repented and he came back to God and he started growing in God. And then they got Samantha.
Amen. Amen.
So his wife looks into the spiritual realm, because she's saying that, listen, you're only being this hard on Samantha. Like, I know Samantha is not living the right life, but at the same time, we are her parents and we're the one who is of God. We're supposed to give her love just the same. And she's saying that she understands that it's not what Samantha is doing, but it's because of what he did in the past. He has not gotten over it as yet.
Mm-hmm. Hasn't forgiven himself.
No, even though God has forgiven him.
Yeah. Now, have you had any comments from pastors concerning this book?
Pastors. I've gotten from pastors' children, but not pastors to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
What do the pastors' children say?
Well, one of them told me that they cried. Like, one of them cried when the mother was at the window, because the child had to leave the house because of something that the child did. Mm. And the father was like, "You got to leave my house tonight." And the mother was like, "You can't put her out tonight." And, you know,
yeah.
And the father was like, "Well, if you want to leave with her, you can.
Mm.
But as soon as you go through that door, you're not my wife anymore." You know, so she had to just stand between both of them, you know, with tears in her eyes and be like, "Sammy, just, you have to go," but, you know. Mm. And a pastor's daughter was like, "Whoa, like, I know what you mean here. I know what this feels like."
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
And she was like, "My God, I was crying." Then There's, you have others that say, no, this is not a pastor's daughter. No, no, no. Wow. But, I mean, yeah.
And I know several pastors. You know, I mean, the devil can't, he does get to pastors as well, but it's harder for the devil to take down a pastor because the pastors are supposed to be spiritually sensitive to things that are going on. But as you put in your book, you know, the door to pastors' kids, because they're held basically to the same standard as the pastor.
Yeah.
They're still kids, you know, they have to make their own way spiritually to God. And the devil will try and disrupt that, because if he can hurt the kids, hurt the family, then he can hurt the pastor. Hey folks, Pastor Bob here. We are all out of time for today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads podcast. We've been talking with Monique Mitchell, author of the latest release book, The Skeletons of Samantha's Closet. And she's from the island of Jamaica. She's been sharing with us some of the background and the culture that went into writing this book. And it is a very relative topic for today's society, that of adultery, pastors' kids drifting away from the faith, how the devil uses that to attack the pastor. All these are definite pertinent topics in today's society. And I recommend that you get a copy of this book, because it is going to be an awesome read. She's already generating a rave following and getting great reviews on this book. So I recommend that you get a copy of it. More importantly, come back tomorrow and join us as we conclude our interview with Monique Mitchell. Till then, this is Pastor Bob reminding you, be blessed in all that you do. Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this: your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.